We are studying the book of Exodus. In last chapter 1 and chapter 2, can you change? Chapter 1, chapter 2, so God hears, remembers, sees, and cares. The second week, we in Exodus 3, we saw when God said, I am what I am. God revealed His name and purpose. And Exodus 4, we saw the call of Moses. And today I have the privilege to cover two chapters. So please, stand with me. Okay, stay with me. We have a lot to cover today. And I need you to really stay with me. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray for your presence. We pray that you help me to share your word. I pray that you can help us to understand you, Lord. We pray for your presence. We pray for your power. And that your name will be glorified. We rest in you, Lord. We rest in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, Exodus 5 and 6. Promise, but no straw. This is the theme. How should you respond when God doesn't seem to be keeping his promise? This is a big question. Have you ever had the experience that you were totally confident that you would win or get something, and in the end, everything went wrong? You know, the day that you think, okay, I have all the answers. I have the victory. I will get this. And when you get there, nothing happened. I was 13 years old in 1982. If you want to know how old I am, just make a count, okay? So I was 13 years old. And as a Brazilian, I love soccer. And yeah, this was the dream team in 1982. And I think it was the first really World Cup that I was very interested to watch, because Brazil was amazing. The Brazil was the favorite. The World Press shows the team as the best in the competition for their creativity and quality. They were amazing, individually and as a team. Team. And it was so nice to see how they play. But you know, in the end, what's happened? Brazil was in fifth place. Italy won. At least was not Argentina. It's okay with that. Okay, at least was not Argentina. So Italy won. The people was so disappointed. The people was so sad. People cry. I don't remember if I cried, but I was so sad. I think the worst than that was when we lost from Germany with 7-0, 7-1. That was terrible. But here in Exodus, it's worse than that. It's worse. Because the people of Israel, they decide to listen to God, to believe in Him again. Remember, they decide to obey God. They decide to open their hearts. But as a result, their lives got worse than they were before. But to better understand chapter 5 and 6, we need to just come back a little bit for the end of chapter 4, verse 29 to 31. So, Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites. And Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed signs before the people. And they believed. They believed. God is here. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped the Lord.
So they trust it's time to be freed from Egypt. The people were sad, hopeless, and something very important happened. Aaron came with Moses and said that God of Israel had seen the suffering of the people and that he was going to free them. So Moses and Aaron brought hope to them. So we start in chapter 5 verse 1 exactly after that meeting with the elders. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." It's interesting to notice here that Moses and Aaron were not asking Pharaoh to free the people. They just said, "Hey, let the people go. And in other words, we will come back. We will come back." It was just like a holiday. The people of Israel was working so much. And he said, "Hey, the God of Israel asked us to go to the wilderness to celebrate. And they will come back." This was the answer of Pharaoh, chapter verse 2. Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. And I will not let Israel go." Pharaoh answered with arrogance and pride. Pharaoh's statement here stands as a challenge to God. Who is God? I don't know God. I know that I am God. But I will not obey you. So verse 3 says, "Then they said, 'The God of Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3 days journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifice to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with sword.'" They assured Pharaoh that was not their own proposal. But they were obeying God. Now they said to Pharaoh there to be 3 days. Maybe 3 days to go, maybe 1 or 2 days there, and 3 days come back, 1 week holiday. Something like that. So, verse 4 says, "But the king of Egypt said, 'Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work.' Then Pharaoh said, 'Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopped then for work.' Pharaoh charged Moses and Aaron to take people away from the work. And now it's worse. It said, 'Hey, it's not only the people. You, Moses and Aaron, go and work. Get back to your work.'" Verse 6. "That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slavers, drivers, and overseers in charge of the people: 'You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are cry out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working, pay no attention to lies." Then the slaver drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, "This is what Pharaoh says: I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all." So the people scattered over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, "Complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw." And Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelites overseas. They had appointed, demanding, "Why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?" So, in all this circumstance, rather than help Israel, the visit to Pharaoh only made their lives worse. They tried to follow God, and their lives got worse. The Hebrews now, they had to go and collect the straw that was used to strengthen the brick. And what's happened now as a consequence, it is a group of Hebrews overseas went to Pharaoh to protest, to say, "This is not possible." Verse 15 says, "Then the Israelites overseas went and appealed to Pharaoh. 'Why have you treated your servant this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is your own people.' Pharaoh said, 'Lazy.'" That's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep and say, "Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord." Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. Verse 19, this highlight overseas realized that they were in trouble when they were told, "You are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day." When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, "May the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." So now, because this whole situation, the people of Israel now are questioned if Moses really had experience with God. It is true. And you think you are a liar. At the moment, I don't know, the Bible didn't say the reaction, the Moses reaction to the people. I don't know. One thing I know here is he didn't say anything. He just left. And if I was him, it's better to not say anything. He just left. Verse 22 says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord? Why have you brought trouble on these people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on these people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Now you get in chapter 6. And chapter 6 begins with God assuring Moses the deliverance of the people of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what you will do to Pharaoh. Indeed, by my mighty hand, he will let them go. By a mighty hand, he will drive them out of his land." God also spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them." When God came to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he called him like, "I am the El Shaddai, the God Almighty." But now, with Moses, they came with people, they, "I am what I am, Yahweh." Verse 5. "I have also heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are holding as slaves. I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will free you from the burdens of the Egyptians and deliver you from the slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has freed you from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. Moses told this to the Israelites, but they would not listen to Moses because of their broken spirits and their cruel slavery. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go and tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his land." But Moses spoke to the Lord, "The Israelites have not listened to me. How then shall Pharaoh listen to me? Poor speak that I am." Thus the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them order regarding the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, charging them to free the Israelites from the land of Egypt. I know it was a long reading, but just I would like to give you the feeling what was behind of all this. But now I have a question is, why did God allow all this to happen to the people of Israel and to Moses just after he had promised to deliver them? Why? Why God promised so many things and he let this happen with them just like that? For me, it's like as a father, I try to teach my kid to ride a bike. And I say, "Hey, you know, trust me. Will you take out the training wheels. And say, "Don't worry, everything will be fine. Don't worry, you got it. It's fine, it's good. Go, trust me." In 10 seconds. Why? When I was reading this week, came two things in my mind. And the first thing was, God wanted to teach them about how to continue to believe and worship even under unpleasant circumstances. Remember, chapter 4, verse 29-31, when they received the news, what were their reaction? They worship. Was good news. They worship. But what God had for them, in the future, they had to go to wilderness, to the desert. Hard time. God wants to prepare them. You need to be faithful, even when things happen that you are not okay. Walk with God in this world is not walk in the park. You know that. We will have very difficult circumstances in our lives. And the question is not if we have, it's when. This is the truth. And God wants to teach his people that they had to trust on the Lord. We are challenged day by day. In the fall, we must walk steadfastly, trust in the Lord, in the Lord's sovereignty, in leading his plan for our lives. We need trust in him. Yeah, most of the time we don't understand. Bad things happen around us every day and we don't understand. And we cannot answer. A great example of this is look at the life of Job. The book of Job. Job lost everything. All his possessions, family, health, despite his integrity. Everything he lost. And when I was reading this week, I just got that he made 34 complaints. 34 complaints to God. And among them, Job asked 16 times, "Why, God? Why?" How many times do you in your life ask, "Why, God?" I asked this week, "Why, God? Why? Why?" very interesting was that God answered Job. God answered the 34 questions with 70 questions to Job. God, instead to give answer to Job, he just keep making questions to him. If you read the whole book of Job, you see that God in no moment give to him any answer. He just make questions. With every question that God asked, Job began to understand his insignificance, how small he was. In the face of the greatness of God that he served throughout his life, but without knowing deeply. Every question God made in the book of Job make Job think how small he was. And the truth that he, in the end, he discovered that really he didn't know God well. But in the end of the book of Job, we find Job answered the Lord. Job 42, 2 to 6. He starts to say, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. This was his first answer to God. After 70 questions. Job learned to recognize the sovereign of God. Job learned to recognize the greatness of God's plan and the inability of anything frustrate them. He learned that. This is verse 3. Job says, you ask, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely, I spoke with things I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me to know. Job acknowledged his ignorance of God's will and of the things which he had said. Verse 4. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Job acknowledged his limited knowledge of God. In verse 6, therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now Job acknowledged his sin before God. God didn't give him any answer. Just questions. And through God's questions, Job, at the end, realized that God is so big. God is huge. God is in control. And we don't have ability to understand. And even we don't have ability to make the right questions to God. We need trust. So, why does all things happen with people of Israel? Why after God's promise, just after, the all bad things happen there? God wants to teach them. Make them understand. But God wants not only teach the people of Israel. God wants to teach Moses. The second point here is God wants to teach Moses to trust him. In chapter 5, God was working not only in the hearts of the people of Israel. God was working in the heart of Moses. From the beginning of his calling, we have seen Moses worried all about his ability to fulfill the task. I can't. Exodus 3:11. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I, God? Who am I? Exodus 4:10. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon you, your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoke to your servant. I am slow of speak and tongue. I cannot do, I'm not able to." Exodus 4:13. But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." Was all about Moses. So in the face of Moses' excuse, God does three things to Moses. First, God promised his company, "I'll be with you. I'll be with you, Moses. Why are you talking about? You are not alone." Second, God ensured the success of his mission. "In the end, everything will be like my will," God said. It's because it was not about Moses. It was about God. God was in charge. Third, God provides miraculous signs. Things happen. Powerful things happen. But in spite of everything, Moses continued to show doubt in his attitude. When you look, even in the, we read Exodus 6:12, but Exodus 6:3, the last verse of the chapter 6, we see still in Moses' heart the idea that, I can't. He didn't get it. But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?" Exodus 6:3. But Moses said to the Lord, "Since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me?" So, this whole circumstance, God was teaching not the people of Israel to trust in God, but Moses. It's interesting that God allowed and said, okay, Moses, you'll be God to Aaron, and Aaron will be the prophet. It's fine. But, do you know why? Because God is so patient with us. So patient. Because later on, you see that Aaron was out, and Moses was in front of everything. But took time. He needed to grow. He needed to understand that the power was on God, not on him. He needed only one thing. Be faithful. Be open to go. So let's draw four takeaways for this morning. So first one, God has purpose behind his silence. God has purpose behind his silence. God has purpose behind the apparent delay in answer our prayers. God has purpose in allowing the suffering of his people. But these purposes are mostly hidden to us. We need to trust on him. We do not need to understand what God does. But we need to believe and trust in his sovereignty and love. We don't have and we will not have answers right now. Third, Moses lived 120 120 years. It's a lot. Yeah? 120 years. Moses spent 40 years thinking that he was something. He was with Pharaoh. 40 years think he was something. Then he went to the wilderness. So he spent 40 years learning that he was nothing. And then he spent 40 years discovering that God was everything. Everything. This is what you need to learn. God is everything. God has the all power. God is a God of love, justice, and mercy. God knows what we don't know. And we don't have answer for everything. We will not have answer for everything. But we can trust in God when bad things happen around us. Fourth, we need to trust Him enough to believe that He is able to qualify us for the work to which He calls us. And when we are willing to move forward by faith and obey Him, we will feel God as never before. We need belief. Yeah, we need God. We are not able to do most of things. But God, He will qualify us. He will give us the gift to do His will. What you need to do is be open. Be faithful. And say, God, if you want to use me in that area, help me. And just go by faith. And you see the God's miracles will follow you. Follow you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we praise you and we recognize that our limitations. We are here in this world and so many difficulties, so many bad things happen around us. We know your promises. But many times, it's so hard. It's so hard to keep going. We ask you to help us, to give us strength and faith and perseverance to keep going. Trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.